Hi, Patrick Cox here, and listen to this. I don't speak a word of Korean, so when I first heard this, I had absolutely no idea of what was going on. Well, it's a TV show in South Korea, a comedy show that's mocking the way that North Koreans speak. The North Korean accent and the choice of words to South Korean ears, it sounds, well, if you're being nice, it sounds quaint. If you're not being so nice, like on this show, it sounds archaic, kind of dumb, and deeply, deeply unhip. Today on the pod, what can a North Korean defector do to mask his or her identity?
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
North Korea, of course, is viewed as, well, a frightening place, bit of a throwback, stuck in the politics and rhetoric of violent personality cult communism, so 20th century, plus nuclear weapons. As far as many South Koreans are concerned, people from north of the DMZ, they have the accent and they have the weird lingo to go with all of that, which is a problem for the nearly 28,000 North Korean escapees who now live below the border. They're discriminated against at every turn. And to find out exactly what North Koreans living in the South do to try to change the way they speak, Jason Strother took to the streets of Seoul.
Lee Song-ju says when he speaks on the phone now, no one can tell he's a North Korean defector. The 28-year-old says when he arrived in South Korea back in 2002, his accent embarrassed him.
I had a really strong North Korean accent. People just keep asking me about my hometown, my background. So whenever I was asked by them, I had to say lie.
Why were you ashamed?
Man, because I don't want to share my story. People know that North Korea is really poor country.
He says South Koreans would have looked down on him and he wouldn't have made any friends if they knew he was from the North. So he picked up the local accent pretty fast. Accent differences are just the start of the frustration and confusion that many newly arrived defectors feel here. Seokil Park is with Liberty in North Korea, a refugee support group.
There's been a lot of linguistic change, particularly in the South, with the influence of globalization and the English language in particular. So they arrive here often are surprised with the amount of borrowed words that they're unfamiliar with as soon as they go into a coffee shop, for instance.
For North Korean defectors struggling with South Korea-only words and expressions, there's, yes, a new smartphone app seeking to help bridge the language gap. It's called Univoca, short for Unification Vocabulary. It allows users to type in or snap a photo of an unknown word, and it gives a North Korean translation. There's also a section that gives practical language advice, like how to order a pizza, and there's a video explaining some dating terminology. One of the app's developers, Jang Jun Chol, explains how they decided on the vocabulary. He flips through a book with highlighted words on some pages. He says they first showed this typical South Korean grammar textbook to a class of teenage defectors who picked out the unfamiliar words. They also consulted older North Koreans to help with translations. So far, they've added about 3,600 words to the app's open source database. Jung adds before he started working on the app, he never knew how limited North Korean vocabulary is or how some expressions now out of style in the South are still used in the North. I want to get a North Korean's opinion about this translation app, so I ask Lee Song-ju to install it on his phone. We take a walk around a shopping plaza under the Seo Tower, the Koreanized way of saying tower, which seems like a good word to start off with.
So now I'm typing in. In the app, let's say tower. There's no translation for tower.
We pass an ice cream shop. Same word in Korean.
Ice cream.
He types in the word and gets a translation.
They said 얼음 보송이 in North Korean, but we don't use this word when I was in North Korea. We just say ice cream and ice cakey.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Okay, so maybe North Korea doesn't keep out all English words after all. Now we find a donut shop. North Korea can't have a word for donut, can it?
This is correct. In North Korean, it is 가락지빵.
Ring bread.
Yeah, ring bread, yes. But we call 가락지빵 or donut.
Lee says he was skeptical about this app at first, but it won him over.
This is really nice. There are not many functions, but all is very useful for North Korean escapees who just arrived here.
And if the app's developers want to add even more North Korean words, Han Young-un might be able to help them out. He's a South Korean lexicographer who for the past several years has worked with North Korean counterparts to assemble the first unified Korean dictionary. And from what he's learned, he says he doesn't believe that the northern version of Korean is stuck in the past. All languages are living and growing, including North Korean, he says. Over the years, they've borrowed foreign words too, but mostly from Russian and Chinese. For instance, they use the word trackdoor. Though originally an English word, the North Koreans borrowed it from their Russian communist neighbors. Han adds that political tensions are getting in the way of completing the joint dictionary, but he hopes the project will be wrapped up in a few more years. The big hope is that the dictionary will help unify the peninsula, linguistically, which at the moment seems more likely than political unification.
Jason Strother in Seoul. And it's a weird one, trying as an adult to actively unlearn how you speak, and then to learn to speak in a completely different way, in the same language, Korean, your native tongue, the language you own, or maybe in this case, it owns you. Heidi Shin, she knows a little about this in a very different context. She is Korean-American. Both she and her Korean mother have outsider-slash-insider relationships to the Korean language. Heidi recently returned from a trip to South Korea. She told me about it.
Well, I started out in Seoul, South Korea, where my family is from, where they speak a very standard version of Korean. But I got a chance to travel on plane about an hour and a half south to Jeju Island.
Jeju Island.
Jeju Island, which is known as the Hawaii of Korea. And they have a dialect all of its own. And I was actually traveling there with my mother, who is fluent in Korean. But at one point, she wondered if we should hire a translator.
Oh, wow. So it's almost like being in China with one of those Chinese dialects that's mutually incomprehensible.
It's practically a different language. But what's interesting about the people there is that they're able to code switch. So if they realize you're a foreigner to Jeju, meaning a Korean from somewhere else, they'll actually switch their dialect back to more standard Korean.
Oh, so your mom, in fact, was fine.
She was fine.
Except that your mom has not lived in Korea for how many years?
35 years now.
Which must mean that she doesn't speak the same Korean that everybody else that speaks now.
That's right. So my mother, when we lived in Korea back in the 1970s, was actually the news anchor for the nightly news. So she spoke the most standard of Korean possible.
Wow, that's amazing.
So she was the type of woman, when I was in college, I would write letters home to her in Korean, and those letters would end up on the refrigerator with grammatical and pronunciation corrections. But when we arrived in Seoul, there were people there from the start who would say to her, like, where are you from? Where's your accent from? Because she'd left the country 35 years ago.
And when they asked that, would they mean, where are you from in Korea or where are you from outside Korea?
It's hard to place, actually. They wondered. They wondered if she was from another province and she had sort of changed or dropped her accent when she got to Seoul, or maybe she was from abroad. But it's in both the language and the vocabulary, but also in the accent. And I can tell you another funny story. We were at this island in Jeju-do, and I was going hiking and had scraped up my finger and went to the concierge at the hotel and asked for a Band-Aid. And I said, can I have a Band-Aid, please? Because I'd picked up along the way that that's what they're called, Band-Aid. And then she offered up, she said she thought she was being the authority on the subject and wanting to teach me some Korean along the way. She said, no, you want to ask for a, and she filled in the blank, the Korean word for Band-Aid in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And the concierge couldn't understand her. And I said, no, she means Band-Aid. She wants a Band-Aid.
Yeah. So it's funny, I mean, thinking about the story we just heard from Jason, I mean, your mother's story in a way is a different version of that, a very, very different version of that. And yours too, to a certain degree. I mean, you learned Korean outside Korea in what, Saturday school or from your mom and dad?
That's right. So I came to the U.S. when I was quite small. I was about 2 years old.
You were born in Korea and then moved to the U.S.
So I was born in Seoul and I came to New York City when I was 2 years old. And we grew up on Saturdays. Back then, Saturday mornings were the time when all the other kids got to watch Saturday morning cartoons. And I spent all those Saturdays at Korean school. My mother actually was principal of a Korean school for a while. So we were hardcore.
And so you were learning the same kind of Korean that your mother had been speaking as a TV anchor, 1970s standard Korean.
That's right. So I was learning very standard Korean for somebody from the 1970s, which is fantastic until you fast forward about 30 years and you go back to Korea and now I sound like somebody who speaks Korean from the 1970s. So, for example, I love Korean black noodles that are called jjajangmyeon. And with jjajangmyeon, you eat these really great yellow sweet radish. And so I was taught growing up that that is called takgwang. So when I was in Seoul, like at this recent trip, we were at a restaurant, and I said to the waitress, can I have some more takgwang, please? And she just rolled her eyes. Because that's not the word for takgwang anymore. Now it's called danmuji.
Oh, that's really interesting. Now, did she roll her eyes because she thought you were old-fashioned, or did she roll them because she really didn't know what you were saying?
I think she really didn't know what I was saying initially until it registered with her. I mean, she was 20-something years old, so she had maybe heard the term somewhere way back when.
Wow. And how else has the Korean language evolved over time? I mean, does the South Korean government take note of the evolution of the language and sort of make adjustments along the way?
According to my mother, there's a reason why our language is so different from the language that was spoken in the 1970s. A few years back, I'm not sure exactly when it was, maybe the early 2000s or so, there was actually an attempt to say, like, the Koreans wanted a pure Korean language. So before then, when there was an influx of a lot of foreigners and Korea was developing as a country, there was a lot of excitement around foreign words. We can speak English now. We understand what's happening in the outside world. But in recent years, there's more of an attempt to say, like, we want Koreans to speak Korean. So there was an attempt to actually sort of purge the language of Chinese and Japanese and American influences in terms of language. So, for example, before the 2000s, you would see different Chinese characters appear in the Korean newspapers and on billboards and signage outside. You don't see that anymore.
And then there would be certain loan words from American English with all the trade with the United States that took place in the 80s and 90s.
In the 1980s and 90s, there was a word that evolved for a part-time job in Korea. And the word is arobite, which they say descends from the German language. But in recent years, there's been an attempt to no longer use that word. They actually have a Korean word that means part-time job using Korean language.
So can you relate at all to that story from Jason about defectors coming from North Korea and trying to fit in to South Korea to the extent that they try to eliminate their accents and stop using certain expressions?
Sure. As a Korean American who travels back to Seoul occasionally, I can relate to the story of a North Korean refugee. Of course, the circumstances under which I came to America is very different, and the circumstances under which I go back to Korea are very different too. But the desire to fit in, the desire to be able to speak Korean in the way that everyone else there does, I get it.
Heidi Shin is a colleague of mine here at WGBH in Boston. She came back from her latest trip to Korea with some audio reports, which, if you listen to The World, aka The Big Show, they'll be on soon. Once the first one is up on our website, I'll post links. And that's it for the podcast. You can check us out online at pri.org/language or at the World in Words page on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter. I tweet under the name Patry Cox, PatriCox. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.